happy and blessed resurrection day, and welcome to the tribe. Let me tell you just a little bit about my story, and I hope to hear a little bit about your story, and I'll tell you a little bit about the resources that we have. But overall, welcome to the tribe of lioness moms. Hallelujah, because we are going to have that rescue, that blessing for our kids. Amen. Well, happy and blessed Resurrection Sunday. As I record this, it is just before Palm Sunday. And don't you love Palm Sunday with the kids marching with the palms? I think everybody does that, and it's wonderful. You know, historically in the early church, that's the culmination of the class that new believers took. And so that was the Sunday everybody was baptized, and it was a huge celebration. And it's a wonderful time of the year, but of course I enjoy the children, and I'm sure you do too. And so we welcome them into the family of God, and we're welcoming many other people. I see that revival is in the land, and people are responding because they are so miserable with the alternatives that have been presented. And I see this, hallelujah, great, great revivals. God sent out evangelists, revivalists again. Hallelujah. And welcome to you all. I am seeing that I have so many listeners from outside the United States, and I really have to apologize because I started on the radio in my hometown in Austin, Texas. I tend to talk like that still, and really I have as many or more listeners outside of the United States as inside. Of course, I have quite a few Americans, and we're happy to have you all. And of course, I have lots of Canadians, but you know, I have more people from Japan and more people from the Netherlands than I do even from Canada. And welcome to all of you. Welcome to Japan, the Netherlands, Canada, Australia, South Africa, the United Kingdom, China, Spain, and many other places. One of the first places that I ever had, and this course, this was years and years ago, 12 years ago, one of the first places I started getting hit was from Riyadh, yeah, in Saudi Arabia. And so I don't know if that's because the name was Great Shalom and they thought they were hitting someplace in Israel. But no, I do have hits, but now fewer of them from the Middle East. But I don't know what's going on in Japan. You all Japanese, you write me. You obviously are speaking English because I'm not speaking in Japanese. I can say, hi, gozaimasu. But that's about all. Ohio, I can say. But anyway, write me and tell me what's going on. What are your interests? What are your stories? Tell me about your children, won't you please? And the Netherlands, wonderful, wonderful. What connection do I have with the Netherlands? I know some Americans of that kind of background, but I've never been to the Netherlands. So write me and tell me what's going on in the Netherlands, and tell me about your kids, etc. Now, of course, I have been in Canada. I lived in Canada and have lots of Canadian friends, but I think that the distribution of my listeners in Canada is greater than the distribution of my friends. So write me and tell me about what's going on. Tell me about the challenges that your children are facing, etc. Same in Australia, South Africa, and everywhere else. I'm not going to assume that the school system or the school choices that you all have across the world are like our situation. In fact, across the United States, state by state, it varies. And in even in Texas, school by school, neighborhood by neighborhood, it does vary somewhat, because although, In Texas, we have local school districts, so it might be as big as a metropolitan area. In the more affluent neighborhoods, the parents might give money, the parents might exert some influence and so forth. So there's considerable diversity, although less and less, as things are increasingly federally controlled, and which is so. We're going to talk a little bit about the dark times that we are in, but I have good news for you. We are just before the dawn. But do write me, let me know what's going on, because I know you have very different situations. For us in Texas, homeschooling is a right. It's in the state constitution, and then it was further solidified by the Lieper decision back in the 80s. And so in some other places like Germany, it's absolutely forbidden. I just can't even imagine. I see differences in political philosophy even between Canadian and Americans. And of course, as you know, there's plenty of difference in philosophy these days between and some other Americans. So anyway, welcome to you. Write me and let me know your story, won't you? So info@greatshalom.org. is the easiest way to write info@greatshalom.org and put in the subject line my story so that I know what's coming to me, because I have an avalanche of email all the time. And of course, if you'd like to write land mail, it's P.O. Box 971 at Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And I'll say that at the end also. And let me tell you just a little bit about my story. If you are new listeners, you might not have heard all of this. I don't know if I told you my original story, that when I was in the fifth, sixth grade, I got a reputation for being brain damaged. I was being pulled out of class. I was sent to the special ed department where we were doing nonsense stuff and like walking a balance beam. Actually, that may not be entirely nonsense, but doing that a couple of times a week is not going to help anybody. And not telling the child what's going on and letting her have a reputation of being brain damaged isn't helpful. And then I was also given medicines that were highly toxic. And then in one of my few rebellious moments, I just stopped taking it. And when nothing changed, there was no downside, somehow I was released from that, thank God. But anyway, it was horrible. And I vowed in my little sixth grade heart that I was going to graduate with honors from high school and show down that special ed teacher. Well, I forgot that, you know, But I certainly graduated with honors from high school. And I graduated from the University of Texas at Austin with highest honors and special honors in sociology, Phi Beta Kappa, and other honors, a list of honors as long as my arm. Because, guess what? I'm academically talented and very diligent. So why? Well, why was I called brain damaged? Because I'm dyslexic. And I don't know if you will have heard, but in the last Mensa magazine, Carol Barnier has an article in which she talks about her practice helping dyslexic children and says that MIT is full of dyslexics. It's the genius malady. But my research in sociology in the 90s indicated that teachers, by and large, thought that anybody who had any kind of special ed problems were, by definition, mentally retarded. Of course, it's not true, and it adds up to professional malpractice that they think so, they act so, and that at that time in the 90s, the graduate school that I went to, I was in the social department, but over in the education department, the faculty taught that special ed, these problems didn't exist. Really, they did. Okay. And then I don't want to dilate very much on my daughter's problems, but this really gave me the impetus for this ministry, the fire in my belly to help mothers and children who have learning problems because my daughter was so very much abused in school. So my daughter got a lot of her father's propensity. She got my dyslexia, his ADD, and his talents in the 3D world, but not so much of my talents in scholarship. So she was terribly abused. And I've got a lot of stories to tell about that. Even though she was privileged to go to some of the better public schools in Austin, it was terrible. And the kind of illegalities that we found in the next school system and the next school system. You know, I don't believe I've ever had my daughter in a school where the law was followed with a good heart. I really came to the conclusion during those years that teaching profession existed in order to harm children. Of course, that's not true. It's just that the system was very harmful. And you put in anybody but a very strong person into a system, and they're going to be malleable to the system. But it was horrible. But then when my grandsons came along and they had, you know, a further set of maladies, well, by that time, this lioness had developed considerably. And my daughter and I, we went after for the betterment of my grandsons. And you did hear that. And of course, the story that you hear the most is from the terrible accident. The eldest died and the next one had terrible brain injuries, but he had problems inherited from his father before that. And then the third one already had a diagnosis of developmentally delay, which meant MR, but he's not. And he had broken bones and glass stuck into his forehead. Since then, we've had a couple of more. And we saw frank miracles. So the second was given 0% chance of living. And when he came to, it was considered a miracle. And when the bones of his face came back to face shape, everyone knew it was a miracle. And the doctor's mouths were just shut. And even the fact that he was walking around and was amazing and unbelievable to some of the doctors, and he lives a normal life. But in the intervening time, if he was going to be walking, talking, going to the bathroom, then grandmother was going to have him sharp enough to go to school. And so grandmother went home, schooled her grandsons for a little while, and both of them went on to be honor students at the Christian school. But the third one then had dysgraphia. I had to teach him how to talk, and I have a recent episode that talks about speech therapy. Don't know if you've heard it, but you will if you haven't. So lots and lots and lots of stories. So an academically oriented family with multitude of learning problems. And then as an educator, lifelong educator, my mother was a public school teacher, and I have substituted in the public schools some, but most of my teaching has, of course, I started out as a preschool educator, and I have been a director, but many, many years I've been a consultant and a trainer for teachers in early childhood industry. So we're talking licensed childcare centers. And of course, it's the church-affiliated ones who are more likely to hire me because they have more money and aim at a higher quality. But I have served all kinds. Then many years taught at the college level, particularly at the junior college or community college level, where I had the widest possible variety of students and quite a few who had learning problems. Well, all of them had learning problems. All of them except the senior university students who were there just to save money. But all of them had one kind of learning problem or another. Either they had a diagnosis of learning disabilities or not, or they were underprepared or undermotivated. Most of them grossly underprepared, and from all walks of life. This gave us really interesting discussions for many, many years because I was teaching sociology, but I always said that I was teaching covert remedial education. And of course, I enjoyed the students who were really university level because they added a fresh perspective. I enjoyed all of my students, the police officers and the prison guards and the managers in the high-tech factories and the displaced homemakers and the newly demobilized folks from the military and a lot of people just out of high school and some people still in high school and the homeschoolers, and I enjoy them all and we had a great time. But you can imagine, I told them at the beginning of the semester that I would be their educational consultant, and if they had problems with their studies, to come and see me in office hours. And over the years, many did, and so I did a lot of advising, of all kinds, academic and sometimes personal advising. But I focused a whole lot on helping them be ready to go on in their college career. And I was canned out queen until one of my students, and who became one of my dear friends and even a mentor, he was a Pentecostal pastor, he said, Dr. Sarles, such a wise man, Dr. Sarles, he said, you've got a lot of handouts here. Why don't you make a book? Well, that book is something I'm going to mention later. It's the How to Win the Game of School, because I told the students, school is a game, but learning is really important. You need to do both. Really learn something that's going to help you in whatever walk of life you have. But also, you want to make good grades, because that's part of the game, and you're going to get some goodies based on those grades, like an ability to further your education. Maybe when you get into certain levels, you'll get, you know, a TA-ship, some jobs, and so forth. And it'd be nice on your resume if you have better grades. And some people hire based on those grades. So it's a game you want to win. But it is a game, I understand. So there's two things going on here. So How to Win the Game of School, and you could buy that book. So thank you to Pastor Mills for suggesting that. So those are my stories. Tell me yours. Write me, won't you, at info@greatshalom.org, and tell me where is your pain and where is your challenge, and tell me about your victories too, okay, and your children's situation. Hallelujah. We really do have some pain in our world, and great deal, if not all of it, is avoidable. I've been saying this for such a long time. For instance, well, I started on the health kick when I was in high school because of the religious, spiritual movement I was in. And I asked my mother for whole wheat bread and started eating spinach in the school lunchroom. Can you believe it? And it stood me and learned about herb medicine and better eating. And while I know more now than I did then, and some, you know, science has progressed, because that is what science does, I knew a lot of disinformation back then, and sometimes I was snookered by it. But it has stood me in good stead, the frame of mind to learn and the willingness to discipline myself to eat better certainly has paid off, and you can tell it just by looking at me compared to some of the people who might be compared to me. So for instance, back in the early part of this century, in the aughts, when autism became a thing, people were saying, oh, it's just genetic. I'm thinking, you don't have a plague come on you where it's just genetic. In the 50s, we had 1, 2, 3, maybe out of 10,000 kids who were diagnosed autistic. And now, at that point, we had maybe 1 in 98. It got to be a peak of the males, 1 in 55, who were diagnosed autistic. Oh, well, Sharon, the diagnosis has changed. Okay, so then we have a diagnosis problem. That's not a solution. But the fact of the matter remains that in a generation, we saw dramatic changes. So you can only conclude from that you've got a human cause. And if you have a human cause, then we need to talk about it. But that was certainly not permitted by the medical profession. But there were medical research journals that did discuss it and were coming to conclusions like toxicity. And, of course, vaccines were one of those. You had a great deal of fighting back and forth. Nobody was listening to me. And I was usually the best source, because I was passing on things from peer-reviewed journals, which is what stands as science. But if you know a priori that anything that suggests that better health is possible, if you know a priori that nothing can be done, or if you know a priori that it's just a conspiracy theory, then you're going to be snookered by people who have pecuniary interest in the status quo. What does that mean? They're making heaps of money by the way things are, so they're going to keep you in bondage. Okay, so there has, and I'm just going to use that one, but there's so many more. Back in the 80s and the 90s, when I was active in the Learning Disabilities Association, again, it was with this, oh, it's genetic. And finally, one of the last conferences I went to, one of the head doctors said, look, it is right to start researching these human causes. Like, we know that eating lead causes brain damage. Why is it so impossible that some of these other things are harmful? We need to go ahead. And in the 90s, we started getting brain scans, so we started getting more information. But then what you had was when there was a group of lay people who would band together to support parents and to put out information, then you would get a fake organization. And this was started by the industry of making nuclear, the nuclear industry. So there was, in the 80s, real groundswell anti-nuclear. And so the nuclear industries got a bunch of wives and started making an opposing quote-unquote movement. And so you find that in autism and many other things. Fortunately, pollution has gone down. Fortunately, people are now talking about the actual brain damage that can be caused by CRT screens and so forth. But I was talking about this, and then you just don't hear much about it. But people weren't listening to me. People were attacking me. And then when it becomes a little bit more well-known by the professional group, you just hear less about it because things get slightly improved. But still, you have old CRT screens in daycares. Or maybe it's the red dye. You know, I have a friend, Dr. Broad, who taught, she's retired now, but taught at Texas Southern, who had research in the 70s that showed the red dye was creating ADHD-like symptoms, impulsivity, etc. But where is that? And you bring your kid into OT and they're getting red hearts as reward. So why isn't this taught in all colleges that you don't give red hearts to kids who have problems? I don't know. But we're going to talk about that sort of thing on The Great Shalom on overcoming learning problems. So please share this. That is one of the best ways that you can help, is to share. Oh gosh, I'm running out of time. But please do share. That's one of the best things you can do. Also, I've decided to make a membership category. So if you sign up for 1717, you'll get a personal word of encouragement through email every month and special prayer for you and your child. $54.13 a month. We're going to have a new membership level. So I guess the first one is the Lioness Tribe. And the second one will be the Lioness Pride. But let me address that. I need to say why I came up with that. So we are a group. We run together. And we are the powerful mothers in Israel. There is a term in the United States that honors the Oriental mothers that work so hard for their children and demand high academics from their children. They're called the Tiger Moms. I thought Lioness Moms for us. While we're not all the same ethnic background, we are all the daughters of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And as Drs. Bonnie and Mahesh want to say, a daughter of a lion is also a lion. It's a good confession. We are the daughters of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So he is the king, and we are the strong mothers in the kingdom. So hallelujah. So that's where the Lioness. So the Lioness Tribe, please sign up if you are able to support this ministry. And you can do that on the website. And you know now that the website is greatshalom.org or overcominglearningproblems.org. because we wanted to be more open and available to those who didn't already know what Great Shalom was, because there is a small niche that knows that, but there are many, many, many more who have children with some kind of learning challenge, and so I didn't want to be opaque to them. So the podcast is going to be called Overcoming Learning Problems, and the ministry is going to be called The Great Shalom. Anyway, go to the website, and you can sign up now for the 1717 level, and we're going to work on that's the tribe level. We're going to work on the pride level, and we're also going to come out with a course for teachers, because we really do need to inject faith and positive confession in a healthy way into the special ed community. Already I have some continuing education courses for those in early childhood on Udemy, and we're working on a course on labeling. We're working on a course for directors that will be on Udemy. And when I get it together, and this may be sometime, a whole course for special educators, then we'll let you know. So look for that. But I do have a whole lot of resources I wanted to mention today quickly, even though I'm kind of running out of time. Let me do that. So my older books are on lulu.com. Of course, you can go to my website at overcominglearningproblems.org and click through. But you can also just go to lulu.com. Oh, and by the way, at the 1717, you'll get some coupons, some discounts for the Lulu books. And of course, the Pride will get those too when I get that organized. So the number one book you should get is Learn at Home for Great Shalom. This is the book that I was commanded to write. Pastor said, what? You can help your grandsons that much? You write a book. Well, this is the book. Even if you're not a homeschooler, you are the primary educator because you're the parent. And this has a compendium of questions to ask yourself and ideas. So don't just replicate failed public school, but consider all the needs of your child. And your child may have, obviously, needs in some areas and not in other areas, because that's the way humans work. And this will have a lot of help. And you should read this book before you choose your curricula. Okay, and then How to Win the Game of School, that's up there. And all of these books you can get in paperback or in electronic format. Prayers of Great Shalom for Your Children. This is really a brochure, and I posted it on Lulu, and I see that it's for sale at a big price on Amazon. That's weird. Okay, but I can't control that when somebody else gets a used book, puts it for a big price on Amazon. But okay, the government is not a village, so you know about another book that talks about that it takes a village. And I went through that book point by point. It's a very disorganized book. So I addressed all of those points, but in an organized fashion. And because there has been some decades intervening between the time that book was written, we see how those suggestions for improvement have worked. And they have all not worked. So yes, the statistics were really worrisome in the 90s. They're much worse today. So the suggestions that author made are in the wrong direction. And so I make some better suggestions, which led to a book which is now on Amazon, which is called Teach a Child, Change a Nation. No, that's the website, Teach a Child, Change a Nation. But the book that's on Amazon is How to Start a Daycare Preschool as a Mission. So it's intended for congregational leaders. And I had to put daycare because that is how it's indexed in Amazon. I know that preschool educators do not call what they do daycare. But anyway, How to Start a Daycare / Preschool as a Mission. That's what needs to happen. And I hope you all work for that. But back to the lulu.com. So I've got two Bible study books that are turnkey Bible studies for women's group. Of course, you could use that individually, but they're workbooks. How to Contend for Your Children, that means in prayer, and Legacy Workbook, that's about how to leave a legacy in your children. So we're talking about character. Two turnkey studies for mother's groups in a church. And finally, God Wants You Healed, which is my third book, second after Learn at Home for Great Shalom. And I was the first one with that title. But anyway, that's an exegetical book going through scripture that talks about, in general, how God wants you healed. The world is broken and we get sick and we've got deficiencies, but God wants to heal us, and we'll take healing in any way it comes. And so that's a good foundation for your faith for whatever other problems that you are overcoming, whether physiological or characterological or educational system induced, whatever. And then going to the Amazon books, there is the How to Start a Daycare / Preschool as a Mission. Your most important mission can pay for itself. And How to Not Lose Your Faith During College, and English Spelling Patterns, and then I have a couple of other books that aren't really relevant to what we're doing here. So, newer and older. So I hope you will make those available to yourself, tell your friends, and improve the life of your kids. Yes, amen. That's what we're doing. So I wanted to talk a little about we're in such dark times. We are in dark times. But you know, God is a rescuer. Do you know the word Jesus, or Yeshua in Hebrew, means deliverance or rescuer? And it's the same name that Joshua brought them into the land. And prophet that I respect announced last Purim and last Passover that God was conducting a great rescue operation, was rescuing us from things we didn't know we needed rescuing from. And I think we have seen, if you're watching the news carefully, that this is true. And there's nowhere is it more true than with the children. It's the darkest just before dawn. Just about when Jesus was born, Herod was killing babies, males 2 years and younger. Just about when Moses was being born, Pharaoh was killing babies. There seems to be a pattern. But I can't even find a place in Scripture where there is as dark evil as I'm hearing about today. But I am confident that a great rescue operation is coming. Can you imagine how the disciples felt after Jesus was so cruelly executed and placed in a tomb, and how dark those days after the crucifixion was? And no wonder that they huddled in the upper room. And yet, then early one morning, the women who were going out to put the herbs on the body, their funeral practices had been interrupted because of the Sabbath. They were commanded to rest and to wait. But early in the morning when the women went out, they came back with some strange stories. And Peter and John ran to see. And the news has been good ever since, because Jesus is risen. And we are risen with him in, hallelujah, in faith and in baptism. And that is the cry of the church to this day. Even the innovative church, even the apostate church must say on this day of all days, he is risen, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. And that is true. And God is moving. God is coming. So our scripture for today, I'm going to read Hebrews 12. We were praying this today in the prayer meeting that I attend. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the great assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Think of that. You and your children's name are enrolled. You're enrolled in your congregation, in your house of prayer. You're registered in heaven. And we are come to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of righteous humans made perfect. That's just more awesome than we can think of it. meditate on that. We are come to God and to the hosts of heaven and hosts on earth, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. We thank you, Lord, that your blood speaks better things. Hallelujah. So we are then exhorted by the writer of Hebrews, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him when warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. So turn to Jesus at this moment. Say, Jesus, I accept you in my life. I give you my life. I take your life. Thank you for rescuing me, you and your household. Hallelujah. And write me if you did pray that prayer. I know you hear it so often, but it's true. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. This is Romans 10. But reading again in Hebrews 12, verse 26, and his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken. Well, we're in a time of shaking, are we not? We're in a time of shaking. Everything is shaking. It's shaking in the second heaven. The demons are being shook up, and our social order is shaking, and the earth itself is shaking. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. I love the songs from that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great rescue. Thank you for your great rescue in the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the great rescue in the end of times. And thank you for the rescue of this day and this hour leading up to that. Help us to be part of your hosts, part of the great rescue once we have been rescued. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching, 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
30. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And this podcast is found wherever you find podcasts. If you're not finding it, let me know. Okay. And please share it. Thank you very much.